Good evening and welcome to Agar Meditation. So today we will talk about healing. What do we exactly mean by healing? People, whether they have blood pressure or diabetes or gastritis, bowel problems, whether they have constipation, whether they have hemorrhoids, whatever symptom they have, people want to heal. I want to become okay. But what does it exactly mean when you say that you want to become okay? Does it mean that the symptom should go away? If that has to go away, then why did it come in the first place? So did you think that there's something wrong? And if it is wrong, what is wrong? Was it the food? What was wrong? So there are so many questions that go unanswered, and people have just one thing in their mind, that I want to heal. And that's what we will go through today. So to start with, now we will start with the Agar meditation, the regular meditation. Once we do the meditations, then we will come to this topic of healing. So first and foremost thing, we'll do the Maypole meditation, and then we'll go into other practices which will give us the clarity of why we are the way we are. So now, think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light. The size of this circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. In your inner scene, think, imagine, visualize a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. See yourself getting up from your seat, walking up to this pole, and hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you, and walk back to your seat, connected by this ribbon as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. As you breathe it in, and as you breathe out, let go of any restlessness, any clutter, any anxiety, any worries, any sorrows, sadness, anger, frustrations that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other, for a few breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain or distress that you may be carrying in any part of you for a few breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative emotions, negative memories, negative experiences that you may be carrying in any part of you for 2 or 3 breaths. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of anything that prevents you. Let go of any tiredness, any fatigue, or any weakness that you may be carrying within you. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this divine love. As you breathe out, let go of any guilt, a sense of low self-worth, or low self-esteem, or anything else that you may wish to release. Come back to conscious awareness and open your eyes when you're ready. So healing has got 2 parts. One is health, the other one is healing. Most people want healing. People don't want health. So many of you may choose not to agree with this, but being in this work of mine where I assist people in regain their health, assisting people is the most difficult part of my work because most people don't require assistance. Most people would not willingly take responsibility for their health. In spite of us going overboard to provide different kinds of tools to help them. Health primarily comes from following your disciplines. What time you wake up, what time you sleep, what kind of thoughts you harbor, what kind of feelings you create and you receive, what kind of conversations you encourage, what kind of conversations you refuse to participate in. What are the kind of social commitments that you will adhere to, and what are the social commitments that you will not follow, primarily because it does not conform to your state of wellness. You do not believe it's going to contribute to you. So that's health. And then there's healing. While health is primarily all about staying well. Healing is all about getting back to good health. We have often received statements, questions rather, now that I'm okay, can I eat whatever I want? It's a very immature question. Once you regained health, then you're responsible to maintain that health. So you did not gain your health primarily to start indulging in what caused you sickness all over again. There's no intelligence in such a question. So it's important for us to decide whether we want to be healed or whether we want to be healthy. So if you want to be healed, you have to be healthy. So if you want to be well, you need to start with your disciplines. Of course, it's more difficult to follow your discipline while you are ill. It's because the body is tired, body is fragile, body is broken, the mind is fragile, the mind is wavery. With all those things, conforming to a discipline becomes more difficult. But if you are healthy, following a discipline becomes easy. But if you're healthy, why should you follow a discipline? Disciplines are meant so you don't fall sick. Disciplines are meant to hold your self-worth in place, your self-confidence in place. That's what discipline is meant for. But if you choose to be indisciplined, every morning I'll wake up at 6:30. That's because I have my school or office to go to. But Saturday and Sunday, I have nowhere to go, so I'll wake up at 9. That's no discipline. You need to follow a discipline because the body simply does not understand your desires and your cravings. It doesn't understand. The body works according to nature. If you didn't wake up early, the body will recirculate the toxins that it has accumulated in the large intestine, which is where many of your problems come from. Well, if you have been following discipline, then the body automatically reminds you what you're going through. The mind, however, does not care about discipline. The mind is the spoiler. And that's why we do the Maypole meditation. That's why we ask you to do the meditation so that you can be disciplined. Do it every day at the same time. Wake up and do your meditations at the same time every day. When you do that, you follow a rhythm. When you follow a rhythm, then there is a hope that you will be better. The heart beats to a rhythm. And when it becomes arrhythmia, that is when the heartbeat gets erratic, then you start feeling anxious and restless and worried. So when you are out of rhythm, then you cannot be at peace with yourself. And that's why nature creates rhythm. So you can follow that rhythm. So set a time every morning and wake up at the same time. No cheat days, no holidays on weekends. Every day wake up at the same time. Every day do the same thing. You've got to be regimented. You have to bring yourself into a particular kind of life that you have to live every single day so that you will stay healthy. This is the way to stay healthy. So there are a few practices that can help you regain health if you're not already healthy. So simple things, those simple problems that people have, bloating, constipation, sleep disorders, knee pain, lower back pain, neck pain, besides hypertension and diabetes. These are the most common problems. So why are we talking about health and healing today? While you're doing your meditations, you need to be in the prime of your health. If you're not in the prime of your health, then your meditation becomes a compromise. then you are sitting at the same time, but your mind is wavery. It goes towards the papers that you have. It goes towards the knee joints. It goes towards everything, literally. The mind just becomes more and more wavery if you are not feeling well. But if you're well, the mind is like a rock solid frame that can just sit for an hour without moving. So there are a few practices that can bring us back to good health. So the first practice that we can do to get back to good health, no matter what our problems are, the first thing is to wake up every day, stand in front of the mirror, and smile at yourself. Most people have lost their smile. First sign of ill health is that you smile less. This is very important, that you smile every day. How many of you here smile every day in the morning? Can you show a raise of hands? How many of you actually smile at yourself? It's good. No matter how you look, no matter how you look, you might be 30 kilos when you got married. Now you may be 50 kilos. But thinking, I should have been 30, I am not 30, I'm 50, my wedding dress does not fit me anymore, doesn't take you anywhere. No matter what your size is, no matter if you're bloated, if you're thin, if you've got a belly, if you've gone bald, you have dandruff, you have hair fall, you have knee pain, you have back pain, whatever symptom you have, the first and foremost thing is every morning look at the mirror and smile at yourself. True spirituality is to live now, despite all the challenges. All the people who are going through, who are sitting wherever and meditating for however long, they're not people with happy lives. They all have humongous challenges. And amidst the challenge, they're able to sit like a rock. That's what spirituality is all about. So no matter what you're like, feeling like, the first and foremost thing is to smile at yourself. This is extremely important. The second most important thing is that you need to care about your body. Second most important thing is you need to care about your body, which means that, are you drinking adequate water? Don't just gulp liter after liter after liter of water. That's not what I'm asking you to do. All that I'm asking is that, are you drinking enough water? So how much water is good enough? So water that makes you urinate 6 times is good enough. And when do you consume water? You can consume water along with meals, not before, not after. And that's because when you have 1/3 of your meal, when that consists of water, then the digestion happens slowly. You don't feel hungry very soon. And once that digestion has happened, the absorption happens easily, and the toxins are easily removed from the system. So your blood pH level is not all that harsh. It's not all that acidic. And which is why you need to drink adequate amount of water. Water is a tremendous cleanser in the body. Water actually gets absorbed into the system and starts cleansing your lymphatic system. It removes all the toxins, converts it into urine, and flushes it out of the system. It is important for you to care about the body if you want to care about your health. All diseases, or rather most diseases, are acidic in nature. Most of the diseases are acidic in nature. What does that mean? No, acidic means pitta. And Ayurveda says, krodha pitta. When you get agitated, when you get upset, when you get irritated, when you get frustrated, when you get angry, and when you hold it for a long time, resentment, hatred, when you hold it for a long time, that turns your system into an acidic system, and that's how diseases are born. So if you want to be healthy, make sure that you don't have an acidic system. You can't say, but so-and-so is not okay in my house, my daughter is not well, my husband is not listening to me, my wife is not listening to me. Make a choice of having a healthy life. First thing, make a choice. Once you make a choice, the next thing is to follow. Follow through the choice. I will choose to be happy no matter what. Today, I'll choose to be happy. Or let's say next 1 hour, I'm just going to maintain my happiness. And the moment you say that, somebody rings the bell. You said, who is this now? You suddenly lose your cool. You just made a commitment. You're going to be happy for the next 1 hour. For the next 1 hour. And when you do that, you will get all the experiences that you need to experience the lack of happiness. You can only be happy when you experience the lack of happiness. So when you are in adversity, you get an opportunity to stay in happiness. Do you understand this? When you are in adversity, you get an opportunity to stay in happiness. You will search for food only when you're hungry. You will search for water only when you're thirsty. But you will not search for food or water or any such grocery items or whatever unless you need it. Similarly, we are not going to be searching for happiness if everything seems okay. We'll only search for happiness when it's absent, seemingly. So, which is why adversity is something that is given to us so we can constantly be in the pursuit of happiness. And that brings us to the maturity to accept that it's okay. This is how things are going to be, and I'm going to search for my happiness in this. It's maturity which will teach you that. It'll teach you how to be happy in adversity. Many years ago, I had seen this lady who had twin daughters. She was about 70 years old then. She had twin daughters, both of them about 40, between 40 and 45 years old. And both these daughters, the only two daughters she had, were deaf and they were blind, which means they couldn't hear instructions, nor could they see. 45 years old. So they would walk just with small strides, making sure that they don't strike into anything. And this lady's face was beaming with energy. It was beaming. It was so effulgent, fantastic. It was so amazing. So I went to her house and I asked her, I'm just curious to know, how are you glowing? And her answer was very simple. She said, God has given me the opportunity to serve Him. And what better opportunity do I have to serve Him through my daughters? Such a beautiful thing. Her husband, the father of those two children, was frail, crying, I still have to work at this age and fend for my children, for my daughters, for my family. But this woman was glowing. Women, mothers are the ones who actually suffer, not fathers. Because mothers are the ones who are emotionally intertwined with their children. Of course, fathers love the children, but mothers are connected to the children. They were connected through the umbilical cord, but now the hearts connect. It's a much deeper relationship than just the one that with, that is with the Father. And so to heal, you must have adversity. If you don't have adversity, you will not even think about health. You go and binge outside, you eat outside, you eat junk, rubbish, only because you do not have any aches or pains. Only because your nostril is not oozing, your sinuses are not clogged, you don't have a back pain, you don't have a bloated tummy, you don't have gas in your intestines, you're not constipated, and that's the reason why you're going and eating outside. But the moment you have any one of those symptoms, you will start controlling what you're eating, how you're eating, how much you're eating, where you're eating, when you're eating. You start controlling each one of them because you don't want that particular state of health to continue. You want to put an end to it. You want to be healed. It takes awareness. It takes awareness for you to come back to good health. It takes awareness for you to stay in good health. This is the reason why all these meditations become important. So now let's do some small introspection. What I want you to do is to just observe. As you're sitting, I just want you to observe your inner space from head to toe and see how your body feels. Does your body feel okay? Does your body feel good? Does your body feel flexible? Is it rigid? Is the seating all right? Is your back straight? Is it stiff? Whatever your condition is, let us now examine that. So now I want you to just imagine that you are hanging in space right above your head. You're hanging in space right above your head. And now see yourself slowly coming into your body. And as you enter your head, just observe your eyes from inside. Observe your eyes, observe your nostrils, observe your mouth, observe your jaws, your neck, observe your tongue, observe your tonsils. Go on observing each and every part of the body and just observe the kind of stress that you're putting the body through. Take your time, go right from head all the way down to your shoulders, to your chest, to your back, your abdomen, to your hips, and to your legs. Observe the kind of stresses that are existing in this body. Look at the stresses in your arms, in your elbows, in your shoulders, your wrist, your fingers. Any heaviness in the abdomen? Any heaviness in the base of your neck? If you have stray thoughts coming in, then you can just pause the practice and continue where from where you left off. Do not try to fight the thoughts. When you have completed, you show a raise of hand. Good. So now I want to know, just going to lower all your hands. I just want to know how many of you realized that a particular part of your body was stiff? Okay. That's good. In fact, what you can do is when you lie down, this is what you can do, one of your experiments. When you lie down to sleep, just observe the stiffness in your body, because when your body is stiff, you don't get to sleep too early. You have to battle. So when you lie down, just observe how stiff your spine is. When you observe how stiff your shoulders are, how stiff your neck is, how stiff your waist is, your hips are. Just observe how stiff they are. So just moving your body, wriggling your body is not going to release the stiffness. You just have to be aware to drop the stiffness, and your spine will just settle. This is something that we see when we do marma chikitsa, when we release the energy from the body. Today, in fact, we had one such training, and one of the participants said, "I want to do marma chikitsa on you." So I lie down, and he just released this stiffness. He just pulled the energy from my toes, and my spine just settled. It was such a beautiful feeling. I could be in that state for as long as I want. It was so relaxing. I could just sleep like a baby. And the same state can be achieved when you are in awareness. In fact, when you're having a conversation with anyone, you can observe how your different parts of the body can stiffen. You can see whether your jaw is stiffening, you see whether your neck is stiffening, whether your hips or waist or shoulders are stiffening. It happens when you talk to certain people. That's because we are prejudiced at many levels. When you're talking to people, we are prejudiced. We immediately believe that this is going to be a tough conversation. This is going to be a rude conversation. This person doesn't know how to talk. We have these prejudices. And when we are prejudiced, our body is stiff. So you have to work with the prejudices that you're carrying so that the body can relax. You can relax by getting into awareness, but because your prejudices are in the unconscious memory, the stiffness will reoccur. So you cannot be healthy if you're having all of these jargons in your head. They will produce unnatural cravings, food cravings. I want to eat this, I want to eat that. And then you start indulging in social media. That's another indulgence which is caused because of These stresses drive you towards loneliness and you start indulging in social media. So if you want to know where all these addictions come from, it all comes from loneliness. And where does loneliness come from? It comes from not being healthy, which comes from low self-worth, which comes from how you treat yourself. So the root cause comes back to taking ownership, taking responsibility for your health. And that's when meditation will actually become a possibility. You have to work parallelly. While you sit every day in meditation, in japa, you have to sit parallelly working on regaining your health and staying healthy. Are there any questions? Well, I think you all understood what I'm trying to communicate. So please get to good health. If you're not getting good health, then this becomes a beautiful lecture on a Saturday. So every Saturday, you're going to devote your time to listen. And then Agar meditation becomes an ID that you would like to share with others. So practice staying healthy. This is one of the necessities of staying in a spiritual life. Of course, everything is spiritual, but if you are looking at a vibrant life, then you have to stay healthy. I've met people who have just one limb. I've met people who are near blind. I've met people who are frozen. The body does not work below the neck. I've met people where the body does not work below the hip. I met such people living vibrant lives. They are in the prime of their health, given the limitations that they have. In those limitations, they are living in the prime of their health. And we have all faculties intact, but we are careless. So don't throw your health to air. So maintain your health so that you can meditate every morning and so that you can stay healthy. Finally, if you want to stay healthy, there are four check dams that you have. First check dam is, do you have enough to eat every day? Two meals a day at least? If yes, raise your hand. How many of you have enough for two meals a day? All of you, I guess. Second check dam. How many of you can afford bottled water every day? Again, everyone, I guess. How many of you can afford, or rather, are clothed all 7 days of the week and do not have a problem having that can decently cover you? Most of you, I guess. And how many of you have a house to live in, rented or owned, gifted? All of you, mostly, I guess. So if you want to stay healthy, these are the four check dams. If you have these four check dams, stop thinking about yourself and to start helping others. This is another way of regaining health. A solid, sure shot method of regaining health is to help others. You don't have to part with even one rupee of money. Helping others does not require money. People do not require money. People don't require resources. People require people. Talking to someone can give you ideas, can bounce off ideas, and you will get started. But is the fear that stops you from doing anything. And fear is not real. It is fictitious. It doesn't exist. If fear is only about what if I fail, please fail. So understand what failing is all about. When I was learning Shirasana, headstand, the first thing my teacher taught me was how to fall. He said, fall so many times that you are no longer afraid of falling. But don't be afraid and go get a wall support. Don't do that. Fall as many times as you can so you are no longer afraid of falling. Similarly in life, don't be afraid of failing. I'm not asking you to fail. What I'm asking you to do is to not fear trying. Don't fear trying. Don't even stop trying. You should not be the person who will stop trying only because you are afraid of failing. If you think you will fail, please go ahead and fail. So you know that failure is not such a big thing. People appreciate effort rather than mock at failures. They do laugh at your failures, but those are the people who have never tried. But the ones who have tried and have succeeded are the ones who understand what challenges are. So please don't be afraid of trying. Please don't be afraid of failing. Health is primarily a mindset. It's a mindset. When you don't give up, the body heals. When you don't give up, the mind becomes strong, becomes a tool for you to heal yourself. So practice the meditations, practice staying healthy. Take responsibility for who you are today. And if you want to get into a better shape, start working on yourself. There is no shortcut. There's no thing you must, but don't stay thinking forever. Draw a plan and start executing from today so that you can be healthy tomorrow and you can do everything to stay in good health. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much. I hope you start practicing staying healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, in every which way. Stay healthy. Take responsibility for health. And if there are elements around you who are not in tune with health and who feel that anger is the best way to get things done, it's absolutely fine for you to be disconnected from them. It's absolutely fine for you to be deaf in front of them. Absolutely fine to be brain dead in front of them. Do whatever it takes, but make sure that you will not compromise on your health. Take it as a challenge. It works. It works. It's okay for people to call you a mad person. It's okay for people to call you arrogant. It's okay for people to tell you that you're good for nothing. It's absolutely fine for people to call you anything as long as you maintain your state of health mentally, emotionally, intellectually. Thank you so much for listening. So today, prove to yourself that you can be a better person. The world will turn around tomorrow and say that you faced it, you cracked it. All the best to you. Have a beautiful life. Let's connect again next weekend. Until then, goodbye.